Isn't it time that you powerfully aligned with your soul's purpose and activated your divine gifts and talents so that you can thrive in the new paradigm? Welcome to Soul Purpose Central with internationally acclaimed radio host Jennifer Longmore, North America's Soul Purpose Expert. You've been divinely guided here because something deep within your diamond light longs to be activated so that you can joyously evolve through your ascension journey. Congratulations! You have arrived at the right place. After 20,000 soul purpose and healing sessions, Jennifer now joyfully shares with you her profound wisdom and experience in the Akashic Records, multidimensional healing, and all that is relevant to your creation story as a unique spark of divine light, love. Join us each week for your connection to the wisdom of the collective Akasha and selected experts who can align you to all things soul purpose. Prepare to be activated, aligned, and accelerated on your ascension path. Now, here's your host, Jennifer Longmore.
Welcome, everyone, to Soul Purpose Central. I am your host, Jennifer Longmore, North America's Soul Purpose Expert and founder of souljourneys.ca. And if you haven't gone there already, would love for you to pop by my site, again, souljourneys.ca, and claim your free soul acceleration system that's filled with lots of goodies to help you on your soul's journey and move you forward, especially during this marvelous year of 2012. And now I would like to introduce you to our very special guest today, speaking about a topic that we haven't spoken about for quite some time, which is about living in a conscious relationship. So I'd like to introduce you to the one and only Deborah Beauvais, who's the founder and owner of Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, as well as Empowered Connections, which were both created out of love. And I would say that Deborah is definitely an expert on love, with a vision to help people across the universe. Through Empowered Connections, Deborah actually mentors souls to go within to identify their own individual light, to find unconditional love for themselves and for others. And the sessions that she conducts are called Path to Your Power through Divine Love Within. She is also a reconnective healing practitioner and practitioner in the reconnection, trained by Dr. Eric Pearl. And reconnective healing, for those of you that don't know, is an evolutionary healing modality that goes beyond the spiritual, mental, physical, and emotional. It actually reaches to the very essence of one's being. So it's really powerful stuff, and quite a powerful lady to be receiving that from. She's hosting her syndicated radio show, Love by Intuition, and Deborah feels that now is the time to live in the present at a higher frequency of consciousness with humility, grace, and with reverence for all life. If you haven't been connected with Deborah before, you're definitely going to want to check out her site, which is www.lovebyintuition.com, or you can also visit www.dreamvision7radio.com to stay connected with her. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Deborah to the show. Welcome, Deborah.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. That was a beautiful introduction.
Well, you're a beautiful soul to be introducing, so I guess we're on the same wavelength today.
Yes, we're very much the same, of the same essence we are.
I would agree. So before we dive into our topic for today, my sense is that everyone listening today would really benefit from hearing a little bit about your story and how you arrived at this place where you're sharing this amazing message around conscious relationship.
Okay. Well, I've had, as many people out there, I've had a fascinating life. Usually share lives within lives, and I believe from a higher perspective I chose everything from my parents to all the good, bad, and the ugly that has happened, and that's how I've evolved to where I am today. I've come from a tumultuous childhood. I've been in a marriage that was abusive and abrasive physically, mentally, emotionally. I found my glorious husband, who I had for 17 years, and then he was killed in an accident. I was molested as a child. There's all kinds of things that I've experienced, small and large. But again, I would, not that I would want my husband to go again, because we had a glorious relationship. However, who I am today, I'm still my core. However, I've grown so much and turned to finding out more about my spiritual journey about 6 years ago, and just delved into it and did a lot of inner healing work, forgiveness, and all the different pieces that come to be able to value yourself and love who I am. And then once you find unconditional love for yourself, you want to serve others and help others. And that's really how I got to where I am today.
Wonderful. And I love when you share that. You know, I've spoken with so many people over the years, and I think of my own journey as well. And for those people who are in a place of questioning their purpose, they often can be under the impression that it's easier. People just kind of wake up one day and have this sort of, oh, here's my purpose, or, you know, they just yeah. kind of always know it. And anyone I've spoken with, and this includes myself, has to go through what can be deemed by some as the dark night of the soul in mm-hmm. order to gather the wisdom and the mastery to arrive at a place where we can then give back that wisdom and that we've worked so hard to master with anyone else who may benefit. So I think it's just important sure. for people to know and understand that.
Mm. Yeah, and a lot of times I know for myself, I lived in the world of victim, poor me, poor this, poor that. And, you know, I brought up my three daughters and got them through college and all that goodness. But for me personally, I felt like a victim. But one day I got tired of it. And I think that's what happens to many people, that they get tired of feeling sick or tired of having migraines or just tired of being miserable. So they look to other ways of enlightening themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree mm-hmm. with that, Jennifer?
Absolutely. It's funny that you say that, because when I talk about my business with people, when I very first started my business, I was so nervous about getting out there and letting people know who I really was, you know, a larger group of people. I was so afraid, and every day became like Groundhog Day. I would get up and I'd do whatever I would do. I'd go to my computer and I would just sit by this computer waiting for these magical emails to appear from all these clients that were just going to find out about me through telepathy. I suppose.
And some
know,
do.
Because I wasn't getting out there and letting people know. But I was so afraid. And the fear actually got boring, you know, because every day was like Groundhog Day. So it was because of the boredom of the fear, which sounds kind of weird to say, I guess, in some ways, that I actually just finally threw in the towel. I'm like, that's it. I'm choosing success over fear. And I just, you know, sucked it up and went out there and took, you know, the bull by the horns and went after things without being attached to whether I got a yes or a no. So it's
sure.
kind of a similar thing to what you were describing. And I sense that a lot of us go through that. We kind of just reach a point, and it's hard to really measure when that point is, but we just kind of reach a breaking point where we're like, okay, I'm done with that.
Right. And it's a choice. Everything mm-hmm. is a choice, and I say that word so often, but everything that we do to bring more light within and to be better human beings, it's a choice, and everyone mm-hmm. has that free will and choice.
Mm-hmm. I think, too, as women, I don't know how you feel about this. I know for me in the past, and any of my friends that I've ever spoken to, we're really good at hanging on to things well past their expiration date, whether it's patterns or relationships or whatever.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would agree. I really would. And I think it comes from being a woman and being the nurturing person and wanting to fix everything and have it all tied up neatly with a bow. And but that's part of the journey. It's part of the journey of learning that we don't have to hang on to that. We can let go, and we're okay with it.
Mhm. Mhm. So how did you segue into this notion of conscious relationship?
Because I'm conscious now, and mm-hmm. When I think back at my relationship with my my second husband, who was amazing, I wasn't where I am today. I was like in a cocoon of love and everything was fine. And I was all caught up in the humanness of life, not even thinking beyond that there's a higher purpose. So with that said, I was just all caught up there. But I would say that we had a conscious relationship because we never said or shared anything that would hurt the other person intentionally. And we also, we valued each other. It was night and day from what I was used to. And it was so refreshing, and I was in gratitude every day, even though I wasn't in gratitude the way I am today. But back then, I always was very thankful for the kind of relationship that we had. We just honored each other's thoughts and what we wanted to do. And one would say, well, do you mind if I do this? You know, this is really something I'd like. And the other one would say, well, sure, go do that. It was just that kind of relationship. So I call that a conscious relationship, even though we weren't into talking about the higher realms. We didn't talk about God. In fact, my husband didn't believe in God, he said. But I know that he believed in a higher source of something because he knew he was going to leave. He actually left letters for each of us, my three daughters and I, before he left. So I know that he was receiving messages. But anyway, a conscious relationship is just that. It's one where you love yourself first, and I really feel that getting to know God, I say God, some people say higher source, creator, whatever one chooses to say or believe. But once you connect with the light within yourself, connected to the light above, you find inner power, inner love for yourself. And when you value yourself, yet that's how you treat your partner in a relationship. And that's how he or she would treat you. And it's just an understanding. And it's getting to know who each person is from the truth of who they are, not the facade that many human beings walk around with when they're out in public. But I'm talking about the truth. What makes that person tick? What has hurt that person? Understanding why it hurt that person. And once you really understand about that person, knowing their truth and they're yours, then it's just an understanding that you treat each other with love, from a place of love instead of a place of fear. And mm-hmm. that kind of gives you an idea of what a conscious relationship is.
Mm-hmm. What would you say are the biggest blocks, like maybe the top three biggest blocks for why people aren't able to shift into that place of either attracting a conscious relationship or being able to sustain in a conscious relationship?
Well, I think with attracting, one has to be love first and choose to be love. And I'm talking about be love in everything we do, not just when we're on holistic radio, but when we talk to someone, when we talk to the credit card company, when we talk to a family member that maybe hasn't been all that very nice to us. And if you look at everything from a higher perspective, regardless of what is happening, you can actually see clearly. It's almost like stepping back and seeing the situation or what has been said in a different light, and no pun intended. And so with that, then you're better able to handle everything with grace. So I really believe it starts with us, and then we attract what we are. And if we are love, we're going to attract love. When people attract other things, and believe me, I've done that. I've attracted the bad boys and had fun, but on the line of danger, I've done all that. But what I was doing back then was I I did not value who I was. I didn't think I was worth something for worth it with someone that would treat me well. I was stuck in the stuff from my childhood and just let that follow through. And I attracted all the wrong people. But yet, as you probably well know, when we attract someone like that, it's a lesson. And the lesson is there for us to see and to embrace it and release it if it's a painful situation. And a lot of times we don't see it. We choose not to see it. And so it comes around again. And I think for most people, as I was, and, you know, I see my daughters, you get all caught up with day-to-day life, taking care of the kids, having a career, having a home, having a family, and everyone's so caught up with life, they may not think beyond a higher perspective, that there is a higher perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. I don't know if that answers your question.
Mm-hmm. I could all
sum it up is the first thing is to be love in everything, not just when people are watching and not just when it's convenient, and to be really amping up that sense of self-worth.
Right.
And that's going to be what allows the conscious relationship in. And then would you say to sustain it is the same energy as well?
Yes, and, you know, again, we've probably all been there where we would blame the partner for this or that when it was us. It was the way we absorbed it. For example, you know, if you may come together with someone that travels for their business, so they're taking off a lot, and you may have come from a childhood of being abandoned. And so every time they leave, you go into a little frenzy of they're leaving you, when in fact they're just going to their job. But you've been put together from a higher place and perspective. You've been put together to learn from that. And it's right in your face. It's right there. And you can see it or you can choose not to. But if you see it, then you can say, well, gee, this really mirrors the abandonment piece, and what can I do about that? And you ask, how can I heal this? What can I do about it? And the messages will come, and then you'll know when that piece of you is healed, and then you become, you know, free of it. And you just, if it comes again, you might get a little twinge, but then you know, well, I worked on that and released it, and so I don't need to look at that anymore. And even the relationship might dissolve because you've learned that lesson, and now you're on to the next relationship you may have.
Mm-hmm.
It's very complex.
I like how you're talking about this, because I know many people who would consider themselves to be in a conscious relationship, and they tend to be stressed out a lot. Now, I'm not saying they are in a conscious relationship. From their perspective, they are. But they're constantly being triggered. They're really working out the issues in their tissues through their relationship.
I love that.
And, you know, more so than, let's say, going for a healing session, or more so than their family even would get on their nerves or things like that. So, so what's your sense around that?
As far as,
well, just, you know, is being in a conscious relationship going to kick up more stuff?
Oh, yes.
Or if it does, how can people deal with it in a way that's kind of more joyous, more flowing, less resistant, that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, I think when we're awakened to our spiritual journeys, we're all on one. We just may not all be aware of it. Yeah. So what happens is when you are aware of your spiritual journey, most times you're trying out different modalities, you're reading a lot of holistic type books, and you start to connect with your higher self and the light, the higher beyond that. And what happens is things actually are created for you to learn and grow, because that's why we're here. We're here on this earth for soul growth, and our souls wanted to come, and they chose the things that we were to learn, and ultimately, I believe, everyone is learning about love. So as you go along, it comes just only when you're ready to look at it. And sometimes it will come, and you won't want to look at it at that time. You'll see it and you'll feel it, but you're saying, I don't want to go there. Because a lot of people are in fear of the pain. But the pain that you hold from something that has happened that you've experienced in your lives, if you hold that pain, is far more in magnitude than any kind of discomfort that you would experience as you go within and do your healing work. So it is little by little things will crop up. And for example, you know, for child molestation, I did not remember it until I went and did some hypnosis, and it came up, and it was extremely clear in detail. I spoke everything in detail, and I was amazed as I was speaking it, but it was the truth, and it was. And when it came, I was ready to look at it. Yes, I did a lot of crying and that heavy sobbing, and I felt funky for a couple of weeks. But because I had been on my journey and doing other healing work, I was ready to release that. And it came in they say, layers. And it does. Afterwards, there were different layers that came, and I needed to embrace and release those. And then I finally came to a place where it was just a knowing that I was at peace with it. And and that's just one example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I really feel it all comes when we're ready to look at it. And then we have that free will choice, and we can make it go away. Another one is because of the tumultuous childhood, and it was mainly focused on my mom. I had shared with one of my sisters, just go and sit quietly with your palms open and clear any kind of thoughts and go into that inner space. And so she said afterwards, well, that was weird. I remember something when I was 9. Isn't it weird? And she goes, what do you think that was about? And I just said, well, it's something that you probably need to look at. And I just left it like that. And she wasn't ready to look at it. You know, she just wasn't ready. So those are the kinds of things that we know, you know and I know, that we have that intuitive place where we know, but our fear and our minds are overtaking our heart, so we choose to tune out.
And I even like the way you handled that with her, because a lot of people try to analyze it or dissect it or offer up their opinions, and just by saying, huh, maybe it's something you want to look at, is such a freeing way. Because as you know, and I know this, and probably many people listening, when someone's not ready, no matter what we say to them, you know, it's going to go over their head, or it's going to, you know, kind of create a moment in time where they get frozen. It's actually, I believe, more serving to just kind of present it as a, huh, interesting.
Right.
Something you might want to look at. Yeah.
Right.
So some of the other things, you know, when I think of different clients that I've had over the years, and part of why I was so excited that we were going to talk about this is because, having done so many Akashic readings over the years, love is right up there as a question. Either where's my soulmate, or you know, help me with this relationship, it's driving me nuts, should I leave, should I stay, all this kind of stuff. But one of the things I notice with folks that are waking up and they're stepping into deeper levels of consciousness is that each partner wants to be psychoanalyzing the other partner. So as issues are coming up, there's this kind of projection back and forth, like, no, I know you think it's my issue, but it's really your issue, and just sort of ping-ponging can go on.
Yes.
So how can couples avoid that and really just shift into a place of holding space and, you know, being in a different energy around that?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I know, because when two people come together, no matter what those two people, you know, are, if you're living under the same roof, different things open up, different things transpire. And it's a way, it's learning. It's learning to maybe bite your tongue when you're saying, sometimes saying less is more, but it's learning that. And I'll be the first one to say, I'll give my opinion in other areas pretty much, but then I have to remind myself, you know, I have, you know, more or less listen and share less unless someone asks you. But in a relationship like that, I think it's a good thing to just say, you know what, I think we both need to take a little break away from each other, even if it's going in the other room and doing something separately until you can come together and be more open. But I can see where one could be, you know, it's like a ping pong ball back and forth. And again, if you're conscious, you're both conscious, then you realize what's happening and you step back and laugh about it and go forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of my friends calls it Enlightenment Olympics.
That's cute.
When I heard that, I was like, that's a good term. Where, you know, there's, I don't know that it's intentional, but people, I find, when they are going through a certain level of consciousness, want to demonstrate to everyone that they're conscious. And so sometimes it's, you know, at the expense of someone else and wanting to demonstrate their level of consciousness. And so this interesting dance takes place sometimes.
Yeah, well, that's the ego.
Totally, yeah. And even at that, you know, I noticed that in relationships, just with some of the questions I've been asked, is that people are still, there's this awakening that's happening, and then there's all these sort of old programs that are at play as far as what is relationship, what is love, what is marriage. When we look at some of the fairy tales we were raised on and that kind of thing. So I'm wondering if you can speak to some of that and how people can navigate that sort of, you know, finding their place in relationship.
I think it goes back to finding one's truth. I mean, yes, we've heard and been brought up with all kinds of things, but I believe it's now is a time where once people know who they really are, then they build their relationship accordingly and connect with the higher and then create their own relationship. We don't have to follow what we see out there with the media or what we've been taught through the years. Everyone wants love, and everyone wants a loving relationship with, whether it's your mother, your brother, your partner, or a friend. You want good relationships. So I think it's a choice of asking oneself, if they're not having good relationships, why aren't they? And then when they ask that question and look at it objectively, it usually goes back to showing us personally, what are we doing? Because again, whatever we are and however we act is what we're going to attract.
I find a lot of people, you know, when you talk about finding their own truth, and I'm a firm believer in that, and I've spent many years trying to help people uncover their own truth, because I find people want to come to me and or you, for example, or anyone outside of us for the absolute truth. And people don't seem to know, well, what is my truth? How do I know what my truth is in regards to different things? And in this case, with relationship, So how can someone start to unravel what their truth actually is? Like, what sort of tangible things can people do to get clear on, well, what is it that I do want, even if it's different than what other people seem to be doing?
Right. I think it's getting in touch with our feelings. I believe it's all about how we feel. And again, when you're aware of that we're just not here, I always say that we're just not on earth to get jobs and go buy shoes. We're here for a higher purpose, to learn about that love and treat others unconditionally. Look at everyone regardless of what color they are or size or shape or where they come from, that we're all from the same beach. We're all part of the same race. And so when first one needs to look at things that way, and then it's just really, I feel, is when you sit and your palms are open and you sit quietly, even if it's just 10 minutes, and listen to yourself breathing and get in tune with you, your soul, your energy, not what you look like, not your container, as I say, but who you real, what is your heart beating, and get in touch with how you feel. And a lot of things we learn from the way, if we pay attention to how we feel when someone says something to us and we get we feel uncomfortable, or we take it personally, which I used to take everything personally. You know, all the, if someone is asking you to go somewhere and you feel uncomfortable, it's all those things about how you feel in everything that happens in your daily life, and tuning into that. So if it feels uncomfortable, you know that's not really something you really like. Maybe you don't like to go to movies at all, but you go to movies because you think everybody else wants you to. I mean, that's just a simplistic thing. It's being who you are, and when you tune into yourself like that, then a lot of different things crop up. You find that you might like to sew. You find you might like to decorate, or you may want to write a book. All those kinds of things come through when you tune in. And the other piece, the huge, huge piece, is pay attention to your thoughts. You may feel as though you're really living consciously, and you see someone or something, or someone says something, and your thoughts are derogatory. And you're like, ooh, where did that come from? I thought I was coming from a place of love, and that's not from love. It's your ego. It's your ego that is competing with coming from a place of love. And so when I'll tell you another one of my own, which was the year of learning about the value of money and that I deserved it. I remember getting a scratch ticket, and as I was scratching, part of me was hoping that I would win huge. And then there was some thoughts that said at the same, simultaneously, I hope you don't win. And when I get goosebumps just talking about it now, because I know that very moment where I was and what I was feeling. And I knew at that point that I was not receiving, because I was stopping it because I didn't feel I deserved it. And then I knew that was a huge belief system, that I knew where it came from, my childhood, and I knew that I had some more heavy work to do in that place. But that's just, you know, that's your thoughts. And many times we can be going around smiling at everyone, but we're thinking other things. And embracing it. It's, if we have a thought that is negative or want to hurt someone, embrace it. Don't think that you're an awful person. Embrace it, because we can turn that around. We can be better. So I'm sorry, I could go on.
No, it's fantastic.
I didn't approve, and I could go on, but you get that. I think the listeners will get a gist of what I'm saying. It's paying attention to those thoughts and everything else that I shared.
I love how you share that, because I'm a firm believer in the relationship between money and relationship, because, of course, everything is relationship. How we do money is how we do relationship. How we do relationship is how we do money. And so in some ways it doesn't even matter where we start. Healing one area is going to naturally shift the other area anyways, or expand it more, like as far as you were saying around the receiving and that kind of thing. So what
exactly,
if someone's listening right now and they're saying, okay, I get what you're saying, but I keep attracting the same person over and over again, and I don't understand why?
Simply ask yourself why. And you know what? It's good to go in the mirror and look yourself right in the eye and say, why? Why are you attracting the same kind of person? What is it that you're supposed to learn? And that the answer will come. All the answers we need are within. We have them, and we have support from all the higher beings. All we have to do is ask. What happens is many people are afraid to ask, so they don't even go there. But it's asking. And then what happens is you get a little flicker, and you listen to what your thoughts are. And usually, it's two things that I think it's one or the other. One is if we're attracting the same kind of person all the time and it's a negative situation, the lesson there is that we don't value ourselves. Or for something, you know, it's really that in a nutshell. We don't value ourselves enough to have a better relationship. And then the other piece of it is the person's been put there as a lesson, and the lesson can be learnt, or you can tune out, and then it'll come in another form, another human container, but with the same lesson. And then again and again, until finally you start to say, well, gee, if I'm attracting the same person, what is going on here? Could it be me? I mean, just like in a job environment. Many times people are presented there, might be your coworker, maybe your boss, and they're not very nice to you. And you're blaming them, and you're doing all this negativity towards them instead of thinking, well, what am I doing and why am I attracting that? And if you tune out and you leave that job and go on to another job, there's another person there waiting for you with the same kind of demeanor, waiting for you to learn that lesson. And a lot of times when you learn the lesson, then the person is either leaves the job environment that you're in, or they get a promotion and they're in another building. So you're done with that lesson. And when you do, it gives you that inner power. It's glorious. It's and it feels good. And then you want to build on that goodness, because when one feels good in every area, you want more of it. And so you just keep going. It's like a little, you just keep chugging along because it just feels so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary.
Yeah, I love
that.
Well,
you must know, Jennifer, when you do some releasing and you start finding yourself and good things are happening and you feel that light, and each time something good happens, it brings that power within, and it brings that confidence and that love, and you want more of it. And that's why most people, when they start their spiritual journey, they keep going, because it feels good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And for everyone listening who thinks that there's a finish line on their healing journey, what would you say?
There isn't.
No, I don't want to hear that.
But it gets lighter. Yeah, but it's lighter, and miracles happen. I always talk about the wonder. It's just amazing, the synchronicities, all those kinds of things that happen. They just, it's just, it's hard to articulate what actually, you know, what you're experiencing, but it never ends. But I think the lessons get lighter as they go along. At least I've found, I don't know, how do you feel about that? Do you think they become lighter?
Totally. You know, I remember in the beginning of my journey, I was, I'm not going to say addicted, that's a strong word, but I was really enjoying the healing journey. And then I reached a point, as many people do, where I was like, is this ever going to end? Oh, my, there's just never ending. I need to peel back. Ah, you know. And then I kind of reached that point where, you know, I was just living in longer, longer periods of, let's say, contentment. And every so often there would be some big thing that would get kicked up. And that, so the distance, I guess you could say, between one sort of release and another became fewer and fewer. And then as I became more and more in my power, more and more willing to be in my conscious co-creation, it doesn't mean that I don't up-level, because I do, but that's how I look at it. Where I'm given opportunities to up-level, and the more willing I am to up-level, I expect stuff to come up because it's the very thing that I need to get perspective on in order to, you know, move to whatever that next level is. And I enjoy it. I've turned it into an adventure. Rather than, oh, I thought the finish line was here. You know, I hear that from a lot of people, and same with a conscious relationship, which is why I brought it up earlier with you, is that I think people sometimes have this feeling of healing can be an arduous journey. Some people do turn it into a full-time job because they're still trying to prove that something's wrong with them. So they go from healer to healer trying to find evidence of what their parents told them to be true as a child or whatever that is. And they want that conscious, quote-unquote, relationship to be that one safe haven where they can just kind of settle in, and then these issues get kicked up in their tissues and they get angry about it. Because they just want to have one place in their life that isn't about working on their stuff.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well said.
And I think there is a way to navigate that, but regardless of, you know, I'm a firm believer in wherever we spend a lot of our time during the day is what ends up being our vessel for our healing. So if we're in a job, we attract a lot of our surrogate family members at our job because they're helping us move through our stuff or bosses or whatever. For me, I'm in my business, so my business is my conduit for healing and transformation. For some people, they really dedicate a lot of time and energy to relationship, whether it's friendship, romantic relationship, whatever, and that's where a lot of their opportunities come up. I don't know how you feel about that.
I totally agree. I totally agree where whatever we're doing, it comes. And it comes.
And of course it comes in different areas too, but the one where we're spending our primary focus in tends to be, you know, because we're focused on it. So we're able to see it differently or not always see it, depends. You know, I can think of times in my business where certain things would be, let's say, an irritation, for lack of a better way of putting it, and I couldn't put my finger on it because it wasn't so much a person, but it was a collective energy that would represent, for example, my mom or my dad or something. So it's not always easy to see. Sometimes you have to be with it for a while and then go, oh, yeah, this is exactly what my parents used to do. No wonder I'm so irritated. And then the awareness comes in and the choice comes in, because you can have awareness and still not exercise, or you can have awareness and the choice is either I'm going to still participate in this pattern or I'm going to shift the pattern, as you were referring to before. I'm a big believer. I like to shift patterns.
Yes.
Once I have the awareness, I'm like, okay, thank you. Let's move on. But, you know, not everyone is in that place.
Right. And it's easy to go down
like
to that.
I've done that.
Yeah, and it's easy to go to that human level of lower frequency easily. Just, you know, something can happen and you can go right there. But when you're conscious and you're coming from a place of love, you can stop yourself and you're like, what is going on, or what is this about? And then I always say, well, that was funny, Deborah, and I actually chuckle and then let it go. Because a lot of times it is very humorous.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah.
And that's just it, like what you said, you know, a lot of people are kind of, they get their energy source from drama, chaos, adrenaline, things like that. And I know that too. I mean, I worked as a forensic investigator for years, so I know that, you know, whether I consciously chose it or not, it was my energy source for a long time. And I don't have, people are like, why is your life so calm? I want your life. And why do you have, you know, well, because I'm making choices every day. I'm consciously choosing what I want, and I'm making sure that my thoughts and actions match what I'm claiming that I want to be creating for myself. So nothing really ever surprises me, because I'm not, it doesn't mean I'm not unconsciously creating, but I'm consciously creating more so than I'm unconsciously creating. So my life tends to reflect what I do want to create, and I imagine then that would be the case for a relationship as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. I would agree with all that.
Mm-hmm. So let's say that there's some people listening right now that are like, okay, ladies, enough of this relationship talk. I'm not even in a relationship, and I don't know how to be in a relationship, or I don't trust people, or whatever the story is, right, around why am I not in a relationship. What would you share around that?
Well, I think that even for myself, that if we are ready to be in a relationship, a lot of times we may not be ready. We think we are, but we're not. And and it's some work that we need to do. For example, the kind of person that I would attract for a relationship, a partner relationship, is certainly different now than it would be back when I was 25. And only because I've evolved. So the kind of person right now, I wouldn't be attracting someone that is foul-mouthed and talking negativity all the time. And not to say that I've never swore, I mean, but what I'm saying is that kind of energy, I'm going to be attracting someone that is connected to the light and coming from a place of love. They may not be exactly like me. I don't want them to be exactly like me, because that's why we come together, to learn from each other and do more soul work. But I think I know for myself, I've been doing a lot of healing and getting to a place where if I did not do this work, I wouldn't be ready for the person that came, that was coming, that kind of a thing. And I think there's a lot, you know, some people will say, gee, why isn't she in a relationship? Or someone will say, why aren't I in a relationship? It depends on what you're looking for, or whether you're not looking for. Some people will say, I really want a relationship, but if they connect with the truth of and their thoughts and listen, they'll know what they're thinking, and they're not really wanting a relationship. They're not ready, and they don't want to be tied down, or in their thinking is what I'm saying. They may think they won't be free to do whatever they want. And so because they're thinking that, but they're saying they're ready, what is the universe going to listen to? They're going to listen to what that person is thinking and give them what they're thinking, which is they're not ready, even though they're saying they're ready. And so there's so many, I mean, I've lived it all, and there's so many of us out there saying one thing but thinking the other, and part of getting to the truth of who you are is listening to what your thoughts are and owning them. Take ownership and say, okay, well, I am thinking that, and I guess I better get my act together if I do really want a relationship, and then change your thoughts. That kind of thing. I mean, because some people go through their whole life not having any relationships in a partner form. And then there's those of us that have had plenty. and may have lost the person, or and then that was the catalyst to do much work to be done.
Yeah. I like how you also brought up, you know, who you would be attracted to now is who that who you is different than who you would have been attracted to, you know, before. And I also wonder if you can speak to that, because I see that happening in conscious relationship where people are growing and evolving on their path, and then they may reach a point where they're going to outgrow that person, and they may tend to outgrow people, you know, rather quickly.
Yeah.
And, you know, how can people navigate that, and also how can people not use that as a barrier to not bother getting into the relationship in the first place?
Right. Well, again, I think we brought together for soul growth, so we, both those parties were attracted to each other for work that needs to be done, and some marry and some don't. But there comes a time, many times, that the work is done and then they part. And I think if they both realize what has transpired and it's time to part, then more people would pot gracefully, you know, with reverence for the other person, even though they're done with the work that's to be done, and and then move on to whatever the next person may offer. I think there's, you, everyone is unique unto themselves as to what their work is to be done here on Earth. So there are people that are together for 50 years. There's others that are together for less. Some people stay together, as we all know, and it's a constant cycle of bitterness and all kinds of what I call gobbledygook. At a low frequency. And so
Did you TM that?
I'm sorry?
I said, did you TM that? Trademark it?
No, I did not. But it's what people do when they're stuck in that lower frequency. And so it's when, if you're up in a higher frequency and you realize that, then you can discuss it openly with each other and either choose to be together in that way and never leave, or to choose to part. And it isn't, when I talk about this, if you part, it doesn't mean that if you're conscious and you separate that it's easy. It's not easy. It's a journey, and it's a challenge to leave someone that you've really cared about. But you know in your gut, in your intuition, your heart will tell you what's best to do, whether to stay or go. As I said, relationships, of all the things with the human being, relationships are the most complex. It's not really black and white, as you know.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure we could talk about this for several hours, because it's juicy stuff, and such a joy to speak with you. But I know that people are listening thinking, oh, I love what Deborah's saying. How can I learn more about her? So if people want to learn more about you or get in touch with you, how can they go about doing that?
Okay, thank you. It's you can send an email. It's Empowered Connections. It's all one word with an S on the connection. EmpoweredConnections@yahoo.com. And they can check out my site, lovebybyintuition.com. And I like to give out my phone number because many people prefer that. So it's 508-226-1723. That's Massachusetts, Boston, for those up there in Canada. But we're on Eastern Time, right? On this end, anyway. And they can come listen to my shows and all of my host shows with DreamVision7Radio.com. I'd love that. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, as
thank
we part
you, Jennifer,
for the day,
for having
is there a parting thought or comment that you can leave everyone with as we end our day together?
I would love for everyone to consciously make a choice to live from a place of love in everything that they do. And even if they're in the frequencies that are lower, if they're all caught up in life, just think about that phrase, consciously living from a place of love, and choosing that, and even thinking about it, start thinking about it, would be glorious.
Wonderful. Well, you heard it here first, folks. Consciously live from a place of love. So I want to thank Deborah for being with us today. I want to thank all of you for sharing your heart and your time with us today and joining us on Soul Purpose Central. I want to wish everyone a wonderful rest of your day and look forward to connecting with you again very soon. Namaste.
You've been listening to Soul Purpose Central with internationally acclaimed radio host Jennifer Longmore, North America Soul Purpose Expert, here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For your connection to the wisdom of the collective Akasha and selected experts who can align you to all things soul purpose, prepare to be activated, aligned, and accelerated on your ascension path. To find out more about Jennifer Longmore, visit her on her site at souljourneys.ca.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Don't touch that dial. We'll be beginning a brand new show at the top of the hour with one of our amazing hosts, Transformation Talk Radio. Talk radio to change the world. Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.